gospel song tradition that often talks about life in this world as and life in the church as the gospel train. I mean, some of the older folks remember some of the gospel train songs, and that well, the gospel train is coming. I hear it just at hand. I hear them wheels are rumbling. It's rolling through the land. Praise God. So life is like a journey. It's a journey. And sometimes we have beautiful scenery to see. Sometimes we have to go through long tunnels. Somebody know about the long tunnels? Sometimes we have to experience difficulties in this journey. And every now and then, we pull into a station called Temptation Station. Temptation Station. Can you say that? Temptation Station. All right. And that's where we are today. The Lord is in this gospel train with us. And you know, the Lord didn't just come to get us out of trouble. He also came to get into trouble with us. And one of the things that he experiences, he intends and wants to experience, is this thing called temptation. Now, the Lord was tempted, but without sin. I think sometimes we think just because we're being tempted that we're sinning. No. Sometimes bad thoughts occur to us. Sometimes things that we should not be thinking about are in our mind. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're sinning. It just might mean you're being tempted to sin. And so it is that the Lord, too, had the devil come and tempt him. And there are three temptations that the Lord deals with today. Three temptations. And they're temptations that we all deal with. There's a temptation to pleasure. There's a temptation to popularity. And there is the temptation to presumption. So they all begin with the letter P. That'll help you to remember. Amen? So the first one is the temptation to pleasure. Now the Lord has been fasting. Anybody remember what that means? We don't do much of that anymore. Back in the old days, some of you who are old-time Catholics, you remember we used to do a lot more fasting in those days, amen? We don't do a lot of fasting. Fasting basically means you're going without food for a period of time. It means that you're not eating food. Maybe for a day, maybe for even several days. The Lord was fasting in the wilderness, and he must have had a special gift because he went without food for 40 days. I don't know, church. I wouldn't have made it for 40 minutes. But the Lord is being in the desert there, and he's fasting. He's staying away from food. And the devil says to him, look at these stones. And some of you were in that, Judean desert with me, amen? Some of us were there, and except for right around Jericho, it's a really howling desert, and big stones, and it's just really a rough and dry and hot desert. And after a while, though, if you're really hungry, the color of the desert sand starts to look like bread. Start to slice off a piece of that mountain and start eating. So you have this temptation that the devil says to Jesus, look at these stones, look at these rocks. Don't they remind you of bread? Now you're God. Why don't you just turn them into bread and fill your belly. Just fill your belly. Just, if you got a desire to eat, eat. If you got an itch, scratch it. So, one of the temptations in life is that we think that just because we want something, we ought to be able to have it. Just because I have a desire means that I need to do it. Maybe, I really want to say something to someone, but instead of saying, you know, I really shouldn't say it, I should wait till I'm not so angry, we say, nope, I'm angry, I'm going to vent my anger, and we just, blah, and we just yell at them. See, just because you have a desire to do something doesn't mean you ought to do it, amen? And we may want to eat, that doesn't necessarily mean we should eat. There may be some issues, and I need to be sensitive because we have some young people here, but there may be issues about sexuality that we have, and perhaps we We just need to be careful and say, well, just because I want to do it doesn't mean I shouldn't do it. We have to be careful. And so it is that the Lord is being tempted here. The devil's basically saying, you got an itch, scratch it. You want to do something, you ought to do it. You have a right to do it. No, who's telling you you can't do it? Now, come on, just do what you please. If you want to do something, do it. If you're hungry, eat. If you have an itch, scratch. You get the idea? But you see, life doesn't work that way. And so the Lord says to the devil, look, devil, man doesn't just live on bread alone. In other words, what he's saying is there are some things more important in life than bread. There are some things more important in life than sex. There's some things more important in life than just yelling and screaming and venting your anger. There are just some things that are more important than whatever you desire at the moment. You just bought a new wardrobe, and someone gave you 5 cheesecakes. There may be something more important than eating the cheesecake. Like all that money you just spent on your new clothes that you won't fit into if you eat all that cheesecake. Amen? We have to be careful because our desires, and pardon me for using this image, but I'm going to use it, but pardon me for a minute. I know I'm sort of using an image that the young people might not like, but a lot of the fathers of the church talk about our desires as like little children. Is that part of us inside like a little child? I want it, and I want it now, now, now. And our desires are like that. They're like little children saying, I got to have it. I want to have it. How come I can't have it? It's not fair. Amen? And every now and then, the adult in us has to say, later. Or not now. Or not at all. There are just some things that are more important than what I want right now. And one of the things to learn, young people, is sometimes you want to fidget and skip your homework. Sometimes you'd rather play a video game. Sometimes you'd rather do anything else than do your homework or work hard. But guess what? There are things that are just more important than playing a video game right now. Like listening to God's word, or when you're home and it's time to do your homework or to read a book that you've been assigned to read. But I don't want to. I want to play a video game. Or I want to go out and play. Well, nobody goes out and plays anymore, do they? But anyway, but you see the idea. I want to do something else. But guess what? There's something more important than just doing what you please at the moment. Sometimes you just got to buckle down, read the book, study, because getting good grades, passing your courses, that's important. So we can't just gratify ourselves in the moment. We have to think about the whole picture, don't we? Now, there are times where we're hungry and we should eat. Some of us shouldn't eat for a long time. But you see, we live in a culture today, and I want you to pay attention because then I'm going to move on to the next point. But we live in a culture today that sometimes tells you just the opposite of what I just told you. If you turn on the television, and I don't encourage it, not too much anyway, but if you turn it on, the advertisers are all saying, you have got to have this, whatever it is, this toothpaste. You got to drink this beer. Everybody's wearing a brown suit, so you got to go out and buy a brown suit. You got to drive this kind of a car. And if you drive that kind of a car, you're a loser. And so you see the idea? You have to do it. You got to have it. You got to have it. You got to have it. And guess what? You can have it all. $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and you have got it all. And if you don't have the money, just take out that little plastic thing in your wallet and put it on there. Amen? Amen. Brothers and sisters, we have made a great industry out of turning stones into bread. And no matter what it costs, no matter the trade-offs, I'm going to have what I want when I want it, in the color I want it, in the quantity I want it, and when I want it. You don't just have one kind of olive at the Safeway. You've got 50 different kinds of olives. And by gosh, if there's only 49 in stock, you're really angry and you want a rain check. And our culture tells us you deserve it. You take it. Whatever it is that you desire, you should have it, no matter what the cost. Just get it. And that's the devil. Because it is not true. You cannot have it all. You have to make choices. You have to decide. And so the Lord is simply saying to the devil, and he's saying to us, look, there are things more important than just filling your belly. There are things more important than just drinking your favorite beer and goofing off and playing around and doing what you please whenever you want. There are just some things that are more important. Amen? So that's the first temptation, and we've got it big today. We live in a culture that is very good at delivering the goods. And we just got to be aware that no matter all the lies we get told, we cannot have it all. Even if it's possible, and it's more possible than ever to gratify our desires almost instantly. What a man, I got to go to a store and buy a book. I'll just download it. I mean, I have to go over to Blockbuster and buy no, just download the movie. Instant, right? Brothers and sisters, that leads us into a kind of a thinking that the devil wants us to think that you can have it now and you deserve it, and no matter what it costs, get it now. Eat dessert first because life is short. All right. Now, the next temptation is this desire, this idea of being popular, of being popular. The devil takes Jesus up a high mountain and he says, look at all these kingdoms. I'll give them all to you. All you got to do is worship me. You can have all the kingdoms, and not only will you have sovereignty or power, if you will, to reign and be the king, but you will also have glory. Everyone will say, ooh, you're great. You're the king. I got to listen to you. So not only do you get power, but you get popularity, glory. Now, brothers and sisters, one of the deepest wounds that we all have, one of the deepest wounds, I said, so pay attention. One of the deepest wounds is this incredible, way out of proportion desire that we have to be popular, to be well-liked, to fit in, to be thought of as great. And we spend a lot of money on it. It's called the cosmetics industry. It's called the diet industry. You see the idea. Oh boy, we gotta fit in. We gotta be well-liked. Now, when you're young, they call it peer pressure. I don't know, do they call it that anymore? When I was your age, they called it peer pressure, which means that your friends make you gotta wear these kind of clothes, you gotta walk like this, you gotta talk like this, you gotta listen to this music. What do you mean you don't know who this artist is? Oh, you are so out of it. See, and there's this real pressure to conform, to be well-liked, to fit in. And you know, it terrifies us to think that somebody might laugh at us or ridicule us, poke fun at our mannerisms, like when the pastor keeps saying, you know, or whatever my mannerisms are. We're devastated if somebody laughs at us or makes a joke about us. And it's not just young people. I got news for you. Some of us older folks struggle with it too. Now, hopefully as you get a little older, it's not quite as bad, but it's hard. It's hard. We go through life, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not tall enough, I want straight hair, I want curly hair, my skin is too dark, my skin is too light, I gotta go to the tanning salon, all that stuff. You know, I gotta somehow be more likable. See, and this is a terrible, terrible temptation. And the Lord is being tempted by the devil today. I'll make you glorious and popular. What about that silly cross? You won't get nailed to a cross. Everybody say, you're the king. We love you, king. We love you. You're the king. You're the king. You don't have to go through all that hatred, Jesus. You can just have everybody like you. Here's the choice, though. They'll like you, but you know what you got to do? You got to bow down to me. Now, be careful, because brothers and sisters, and I'm young and old, I'm telling you that most of us are so desperate to want to be liked and to fit in, to be popular, that we will do almost anything, including sin. We will bow down to the devil and to the world. It's so easy for us. What do we start to do? We start to make compromises. Well, you know, if you talk too much about what's right and wrong, they start to call you a Jesus freak. So I'll just kind of soft pedal that a little bit. I just won't talk too much about Jesus and religion and right and wrong. And we start to become quiet. We don't teach our young people. Because, you know, sometimes even parents want to be popular with their kids. And instead of saying, you know, you're going to do this, I'm the parent, whether you like it or not, we say, well, I don't want to have them angry with me. So we kind of soft pedal it. And instead of teaching discipline, well, again, I'm not saying all parents, I'm just saying it's a problem today, amen? And sometimes, again, when you're young, you start to do stuff to fit in. The crowd says, hey, let's skip school. And so you skip school. Or let's go beat up so-and-so over there. He's such a weirdo. Let's go beat him up. And say, yeah, let's go beat him up. Or you start using bad language because you think it's cool. And your friends say, ooh. And you say, ooh, I'm getting popular by using bad language. And so we start to sin. And we start to even use God's name in vain. Because people say, ooh. And then we see that it gets more serious as we start to get a little older. And again, I got to be discreet here. But you know, some people start to join gangs. Some people start to do crazy things like piercing their bodies and getting tattoos and crazy stuff. And other people start to have illicit sexual relations and things because she wants to have a boyfriend, and I got to have a boyfriend, and not only because I need to be loved, but because I need for my girlfriends to be impressed that I have a boyfriend. And they start to do things that they shouldn't do, and the boys start to take advantage, and a lot of sin starts to start piling up pretty quick. And you see, in order to be popular, to be well-liked, to feel loved, to think that I'm fitting in, we do lots of bad stuff. And in a way, what we're doing is we're bowing down before the devil. And we're saying, you know, the devil and the ways of the world, I will do those things so that I can be popular. All right, lots of stuff that we end up doing that's not good just because we want to be liked. And I'm warning you, and Jesus says this to the devil, look, you will only God should you serve. Only before God should you ever bow. Not before any man, not before any woman, not before the world, not before the devil, but only God. Only to him should you ever bend the knee. But you see, every time we sin, in effect, we're bending the knee to the devil and to the world. And the Lord is saying, look, have a simpler life. You'll either fear one person, namely God, or you're going to fear everybody. Now, would you rather fear one person or everybody? I don't know about you, but I'd rather just fear one. And so the Lord says, look, you bend the knee to me, and you can stand before anybody. Amen? Fear me, and you don't have to fear anybody else. Now, fear doesn't mean run and hide, God's going to crush me like a bug. But it means deep reverence for God. The only ones whose opinion I really care about is God's. That's all I care about. And if I can really get to that point in my life where I'm starting to only be concerned about what God thinks, my life gets a lot simpler. Amen, church? Otherwise, I'm running around, oh, I got to please you all by being like this, and I got to please you all by being like this. And running around pleasing everybody. I don't know about you, but I'm just tired talking about it. It is so hard to please everybody. So the Lord is saying, why don't you just fear God, bow before only God, and then when somebody else tells you, hey man, let's goof off and play around and do dumb, stupid things, you say, nah, that wouldn't please God. I don't need to please you, I'm pleasing God. And you don't lose a lot of sleep over it. So the Lord is saying, be careful, because popularity is a big temptation. It's really big when you're young, and it stays big for the rest of us. For a long time, we all struggle. It never completely goes away because it's related to a virtue. We should try to make sure that people are happy, and generally we don't want to just be ugly and, you know, not giving a rip at all what anybody thinks, you know. That's not good. That's not what we're called to do. But to have a certain stability that I'm really trying to please God. And then our life gets so much simpler. And the final temptation, the final one, is this temptation which is here at the end of this gospel, and it says that the devil told Jesus, he takes him up to the highest parapet of the temple, the highest wall in the temple, and it's about 150 feet down to the ground. And some of us were there. Remember, Mary, our tour guide, said, here's the parapet. This is where the Lord was taken by the devil and shown, and it's a big, steep, high part of the wall. And it's about 150 feet, so that if you were to step off that wall, you'd fall to your death, okay? So it's way high up there. And the devil says, look, God said he's going to take care of you, didn't he? Don't we sing like that? God's going to take care of me. Just throw yourself off this temple, off this high place, and just expect that the angels will come and rescue you. Doesn't it say in the Bible in Psalm 91, he will send his angels to rescue you, lest you dash your foot against a stone? And so, go ahead. Just do what you please, and God will still rescue you. This is called the sin of presumption. And it's a biggie today, church. There are so many people that go like this. No matter what I do, no matter what I please, I'll just do what I please, and God will still bring me to heaven. No matter what I do, everybody's going to heaven. God is love. God would never send anybody to hell. Well, that's right. He doesn't send anybody there. We walk there all by ourselves. But brothers and sisters, we've got to stop this stinking thinking that just says, I can do whatever I please, and I'm walking right into heaven. It isn't going to happen. The Lord warns us in literally thousands of verses in the Scripture that if we continue to persist in sin, it will harden our hearts so that we won't even want to live with God. I mean, just look at how many people stay away from church. I don't want to hear a word from a pulpit from some stupid preacher. I don't want to be told what to do. Church is boring. All those dumb songs they sing, you know. Well, guess what? This is what goes on in heaven. They're singing hymns up there. They're celebrating the word. It's called the scroll up there. There's a scroll. If you read the book of Revelation, and everybody wants to know what's in the scroll. Well, guess what? We don't call it a scroll. We call it a book. But are you here to hear what's in the book? Praise God. There's a throne-like altar where there's a lamb on that altar. And in a few minutes, I'm going to be here. And I'm going to say, behold, the Lamb of God. There's candles in heaven. There's incense. They're singing hymns up there. Guess what? After years and years of saying, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to do all that boring stuff. That doesn't interest me at all. Well, guess what? You end up at the door of it. I'm here to come into heaven. Where's my golf course? Well, the Lord says, well, we don't have a golf course up here. We do have an altar. We have a scroll. And we can sing some hymns. You're kidding. Is that what heaven really is? I don't want that. And the Lord says, you don't have to have it. You can live somewhere else. It's not very pleasant, but yeah, it's up to you. You don't have to come in. And that's judgment. But the Lord is warning us. He's saying, I'm telling you right now, if you persist in sin and go on sinning, it's going to end up having bad consequences in your life. So stop being presumptuous. That's what the Lord is teaching us here. Now look, the devil wants us to think that we can just do whatever we please and is there going to be no consequences. No matter what, it'll all be fine. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible warns us. And I know it's a mystery. Hell's a mystery and it's hard to understand and God is love. But in the end, God respects our choices. And if we don't want to be told what to do, we don't have to be. We can do what we please. But that's a very tiny little world called me, myself, and I. Instead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's me, myself, and I. And it's very tiny, and it's very unpleasant in the end to spend all eternity with your own attitudes. Just me. And there's other people next to me, but they're into themselves too. I'm into myself, they're into themselves. It's called hell. Now, I've gone on too long, I'm going to end now. I want to just say to you, be very careful. Do not think, young people, that you can just go on playing, goofing off, and not studying, and think that you're going to get good grades. Now, some people are just naturally smart, I know. But life catches up with you eventually. And if you're lazy, you're not going to benefit from a lot of things. If you're goofing off, playing around, breaking the law, breaking the rules, showing up late, leaving early, having an attitude, you're not going to keep a job for long. You're not going to get very far in life that way. So don't presume that everything's just going to go your way if you engage in bad behavior. And then just as it doesn't happen well in this life, in the life to come it doesn't either. You can't get ready for heaven by skipping out on church, by failing to pray, by staying in serious unrepented sin. You're not ready, and you're not going to be ready, and there's going to come a day when you got to show up and you won't be ready. So again, I simply say to you, stay away from this terrible sin of presumption, which is epidemic today. A lot of people think there should be no consequences. But there are. Life catches up with you. You sow in the wind, you reap the whirlwind. That's what the Bible says. You sow in the flesh, and you reap a harvest of corruption. But if you sow in the Spirit, you reap forth justice, mercy, and goodness, and truth. All right, I'm done. But I just want to say, we've been on the gospel train today, amen? And the gospel train pulled into a station called Temptation Station. And the Lord said, I need you to look around. I want you to look out this side. I want you to look out that side. And I want you to see what goes on in life. I want you to understand something. The gospel train has come to Temptation Station, and you and I need to pay attention because the Lord has some important things to teach us today. He's saying, look out. Life does not consist in simply gratifying your desires and engaging in simply pleasure for its own sake. Nor is life simply about being popular. Nor is life about being presumptuous. Life is about living for others. Life is about loving God. Life is about having self-discipline and control. Life is about many of these things and more besides. So the train is getting ready to leave Temptation Station now, praise the Lord. But I hope that we took a good look out of both sides, out of both sets of windows, and we learned something from the Lord today. Did you learn? Oh, the gospel train is coming. I hear it just at hand. I feel the wheels are rumbling as it comes on through the land. Get on board, children. Get on board the gospel train. Get on board. Amen.